the wall, right? Very contemporary topics, the wall. So, yeah. So just like, you know, to go back for a second, just where we were, right, where, what I was trying to suggest was that there are really two there are two perspectives when it comes to the situation of hezekiah and its solution or remedy. You know, that one is simply to neutralize the problem. We'll call it siluka hezek, if that's what we were calling it. To neutralize, in other words, the mechayev. And then the other, you know, is actually a solution and a remedy, you know, that brings, you know, long-term relief, and, you know, perhaps fringe benefits. But those fringe benefits, you know, for them to be compelling, you know, in this context, and not just like, you know, capitalizing, you know, on a bad situation, also need to be perceived, and also require that hezekiah be perceived as an issue in Hilchos Shechinim. So just to make it clear, a number of you were making this point after this year, and I you know, this is certainly what my intention was. It's very possible that I wasn't, you know, as clear as I might have been. So what I was suggesting is a following hierarchy. Again, the first one is simply neutralizing the hezek. And anytime there's a wall that, you know, obstructs, you know, the invasion of privacy and, you know, determines that there is no offense on the surface, that should be a proper neutralization of the mechayev of hezekiah. Again, misvara, I would have thought that that's all you require, you know, in solving a hezekiah problem. You remove, you know, the difficulty. The Ramban certainly asks this in his question, when he's talking about, you know, why, you know, so much, you know, detail in the quality of the wall. You know, isn't it just about neutralizing hezekiah? The Rajba, similarly, hopefully we'll quote the language in just a couple of minutes, but, you know, when the Rajba rejects the idea, you know, that the standard of building is determined by building in the city, rather than, you know, building a, you know, wall between former partners in the chatzer, he says, like, if somebody can get the language, that would be good. You have it? It's on. He says, like, you know, what would be the point of that? As long as it's not going to collapse, and it accomplishes the gehav there? Go ahead. Yeah. And he says, you have another line where he says something, as long as it's not ra'ua, and omed lipol. No? Aaron? Yeah. So again, that's just a very, these are good, and let's say the Ramban had it earlier, you know, than, you know, when he was talking about some of these issues. And of course, that is, you know, the formulation of the Taz, you know, when he, you know, decries, you know, Shita Sara'a, quoted in the Book of Yosef, which Zach correctly brought to my attention just now, is, you know, even earlier, quoted in the Shita Gubatzes in the name of the Ravid. You have the line there? Yeah. So the Ravid admits, he says, okay, you can neutralize hezekiah with a lot less. The quality of the law, this is what the Ra'a is quoted as saying in the Book of Yosef, but it's earlier in the Ravid. So when the Taz, you know, wants to, exclude that idea. He says very clearly, where did you get, a schus, of smichas kosel, from Hezekiah? What does that have to do with Hezekiah? Hezekiah is about, negating the danger of invasion of privacy. Very explicit in the Taz. So whether it's Ramban, the Rashba, in that line in the Ravid admits it, just obviously there's more to it, that's the whole point. The Taz. So that's the first line of, defense, I would say, or not even defense, but that's the first, issue, and one would have thought that it's the only issue. And I think the issue is, whether, even the Maskana, with all the contrary evidence, in some cases, it isn't, the Koveya and the Mechayev. And then the question is, when? And that's, one of the things that we're trying to explain, within the more complex Shittos, and I'll explain that in just a minute. The second level is, a more quality, as I say, resolution, but from a Hezek Re'ia standpoint. And that has to do with legitimate paranoia, we'll call it, or, psychological anxiety, being concerned, that this is too flimsy a wall, and, either a hole will develop or the wall will fall down. In other words, right now there's no Hezek Re'ia, but there's not sufficient confidence, that won't be jeopardized. So I'm worried about securing, Hezek Re'ia. And as I mentioned, things like, Sharshifa and Biatuta, and, there are indications that there might be, kind of a legitimate paranoia. We wouldn't call it paranoia in terms of, connotation. We'd say that, again, Hezek Re'ia isn't just about, my eyes shooting daggers, which devalues your property, or, if it ain't a bisha, isn't just about property, like for the Ramban and the Ravan and the others, it's about also people. But it's not just about that. It's about, quality of life. It's about, a certain, sense of privacy and personal, conduct, and the sense of security around that. The very fact that I'm anxious, kind of half defeats or quarter defeats, the purpose. So when I say legitimate paranoia, I'm only, playing a little bit with the language. What if it's legitimate, it's probably not paranoia. Meaning you have the right to demand some sense of, security and continuity, in safeguarding and securing your privacy. Part of securing privacy is not having, to worry, about things changing. Now that's different, and there's still the, consideration or the calculation of, what point, and that's why paranoia isn't such a bad word, at what point are you going to say in the dove herself, right? So, I think we all understand, even if we don't know exactly where the line is between Ein L'dov herself, and legitimate, concern about, future and even the quality of my secured privacy, I think we can all, understand that there are very legitimate worries if something is very flimsy and so on, and there are things that are clearly Ein L'dov herself, that they're off the charts and they don't make any sense. Okay. So I think this is, again, the Ramban, within the view of Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek, anyway, does seem to be concerned about, not this psychological element, but the fact that there'll be an interim period where, maybe the wall will, be down. And during that period, when everybody's litigating and hiring lawyers and trying to get a court date, during that period there'll be, an erosion of privacy. So again, is that something to worry about before it happens? maybe very much yes, especially, you know, if like the Ramban, you think, you know, that this is worse than Kitro Besa Kise, you know. It's like a personal assault, so you have to worry about it. Okay, so that is, again, other Rishonim don't emphasize, as Ramban does, what about the period, you know, where the wall is down. For them, it's more of a, again, financial issue. And here's where I get to the comments that some of you were making and my original intentions. I think there are these two other, you know, elements. One is simply a financial one. If already I'm investing my property and I'm investing, you know, in the material, so I don't want you coming back to me every, you know, every Monday and Thursday. Right? I'd rather have, you know, a longer-term solution. So maybe I have the right, you know, or based on what the considered reasonable standards are in the community, you know, I have the right to solve this problem in a way which also is financially, you know, sensible. That's one aspect, and that's certainly what, we'll read the language in a minute, the Rosh and the Rajba, I think, you know, emphasize, as opposed to the Ramban. However, even that part of it, you know, I think, you know, could be perceived not as like a standalone, independent, you know, issue. I think it sounds like that in the Rush, that it is a standalone, independent issue. But I think it's possible to argue, you know, that that itself is a din in Hilchos Shchein. In other words, we're trying to create a solution that is, you know, harmonious, that neutralizes the problem, but also consistent with the kind of problem that it was, you know, in particular, you know, not necessarily only as a separate mechayev. What I'm saying is, there are three ways you could look at this, and I'm, you know, I hate to just add ways, but I think they're a little bit different from each other. One is, it's just an independent economic, like there are two issues. There's the Hezekria part, and once you have to solve things in Hezekria, everybody has their monetary rights. If I have to, you know, write you a check, then, you know, there are other considerations on how, you know, the financial aspect is going to go. And part of that, you know, is the question of, you know, long-term, short-term, and who has the right to dictate that, you know, etc. And that could just be completely independent issue. That's just a separate Choshem Mishpat. In other words, you can get away from Simen Kuf Nun Dalet till whatever, and, you know, go to, you know, Hilchos, I don't know, I'm not even sure. Whatever it is, but, you know, Toin Viditan, let's say. That's one possibility. But I think it's also very conceivable that even the financial aspect of it ends up being influenced by the idea of Shcheinim, the idea that it's not just a situation where in a vacuum, you know, for whatever context, you know, framework, reason, we now have to build a wall, both of us have to invest. Now the second question, the Hostoin Venitan part of the question, you know, is, you know, he wants a cheaper wall, I want more expensive wall, you know, you can see both sides of the argument, like, how do we solve this from a Toin Venitan, you know, point of view, right? No, maybe there's a Shcheinim aspect to this. We aren't just, you know, building a wall together, you know, who cares about the reason right now, right? And here I think, again, there are two ways. We're building a wall together on a common border as neighbors. And it's not just that we both have this joint obligation, and the question is to, you know, execute it as, you know, monetarily fairly as possible. It's that, you know, we're also neighbors, and we have to, you know, we have to go to shul together in the morning. You know, we might even have to, you know, dance at our children's wedding together. So, you know, there's a Hilchos Shcheinim aspect, you know, to this as well. And that goes into trying to figure out the most equitable, that's maybe if there wasn't that, then maybe we would just say, you know what? Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. You get to, you know, spend the least amount possible that will accomplish the goal. But, and I don't know if this is Din D'oraisa, probably not, but, you know, the consideration of how you solve, like, you know, different, you know, competing, not claims, not toin v'nitan in the facts, you know, but the rights, let's say, to solve, you know, or to resolve, you know, a financial situation, you know, that might be different among Shechinim. You know, when you consider the longer term, you know, goal of harmony, you know, and comedy, not comedy, but comity, you know, between the parties. But then, to add one final aspect, and this, you know, again, I don't think these nuances are so demonstrable at all, you know, unless the Mefarsha and the Poskim actually spell them out, and they pretty much don't. But I do think that they're reasonable things to think about. So the final one is, you know, just to take that even one step further. Instead of saying, you know, we have to build a wall because of Hezekiah, now we have a separate Toin V'nitan question, you know, we invest in a long-term good wall, you know, or we minimize each person's outlay, you know, for now. That's one. Number two, you know, we have to build this wall, we have to build it together, and we're Shechinim, you know. So that, you know, community standards and expectations and, you know, the goal, not just of solving this narrow problem, but of, you know, v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha, you know, in a community, you know, plays a role as well. And then the third part is, well, we came to this through Hezekiah. And Hezekiah itself may very well be like a Shechinim issue, as we've been discussing. Certainly dealt with in Nuchas Shechinim. And maybe it really is all about, you know, quality of life and to mutual respect. Of course, standards for, you know, each individual and, you know, both the Nizik and the Maz. Remember the Ramban and the Rama, you know, his idea of, even if you could get, you know, neutralize the Nizak, the Mazik isn't allowed to do this, right? So, or the Rimigash even. But the point is that the more we see Hezekiah not just, you know, as, you know, peripherally related to Hilchos Shechinim, because that's usually the context in which it takes place, you know, but we see it as itself, like, this is Nezek because of the principle of Shechinim and so on. So then the idea that also the Dinei Mamonos resolution is going to be one, you know, in which the Shechinim component is going to play a role, you know, is even more compelling. Okay. So that's what I think, you know, might be going on. And that might explain, you know, why it even goes beyond, the monetary investment, which is what we're talking about so far. But it might actually go to, like, the quality or standards of building in that particular community. Something which is reflected by, you know, the shita that, you know, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, the Rush, the etc., the one that they're all rejecting, which is that this refers to the building standard in the community, not even the building standard, you know, of a chotzer ashutfas, or chotzer shul, you know, shutfim l'shelavar. What is that? Well, it has like its own life, and like it's developing, like, you know, its own intelligence, or this artificial intelligence issue.
Could I unplug it and plug it in again?
Yeah, try.
What do you mean you need to connect it to the?
There's also a wireless function, so it could be if someone's on the same wavelength.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. You never did this before, though, right? Or maybe just doesn't like what I'm saying. Okay. If it becomes too much of a distraction, we'll just shut it down. But, okay. So, the, you know, the idea...
I think the idea that...
Music at the end. Is it working now? Is it? No? Okay, so let's take it off for now.
We'll revisit it. Okay, so yeah, the idea that you know that is rejected in the other Rishonim, maybe that this goes either, yeah, might as well that this is determined you know by the standards of the community. Can everybody hear? Yeah, if not, I'll take off mask if you can hear better. Tell me if you can. Can you hear better?
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you. The idea that the other Rishonim rejected, which is that we go according to the standards of the of community, you know, regulations and so on, which certainly the Bach and Asher both think that the Ramban said it. Right? You still think so? What?
Pretty sure.
Okay. I guess it's more, I don't think it's compelling, and I also don't think it fits so well, though I don't think it's impossible, but you're with the Bach, so that's good. The Beis Yosef, as you see, is Mistapek. But okay. So that idea, you know, per se, is strange, right? Why do you need to do better, you know? But again, this idea that, you know, Hezekiah is the reason you have to build the wall. Once you have to build the wall, you have to build it according to a certain, you know, code or conformity with local standards and practices beyond, and like each person has a right, you know, to demand this quality wall. That idea, I think, does imply, you know, an independent, not Hezekria, you know, aspect. That's why I don't like it so much for the Ramban, but not 100% sure. And of course, this may reflect, you know, this idea in general, not the nafkamina of, you know, requiring the standard, you know, of binyan in the community as opposed to binyan kotzer, but this idea that, you know, it's not even just like an investment issue, you know, or a financial issue, but it has to do with like the quality again of the binyan, is something that is implied by Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, as well. When you contrast the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh and the Rajba, everybody have the language? When Rabbeinu Yonah wants to explain, you know, the need for a higher standard, you have it, Jonathan? He talks about, right? You have it? Probably Gvil, I'm guessing. I can look it up. Yeah, you don't have to read the whole thing. Just that line. You have that line? Rabbeinu Yonah has a line that's different than the Rajba. I think in the footnotes of the Rajba they pointed out as well.
I thought the line was
No, not that line. Anybody have it? Yeah. That's one. Go ahead.
He says, Demiu, the Kulam Asisim Mishinach and the Emrotz Lechet Toch Shalom, the Livinos Mishalom. Demiu, Kafina Livinos Kosa, the Emsa, the Gazis of the Levin, and the Ain Echod Yacholomar Nivne Boots of the Daphne, the Fisha Havera Omerlo, Lo Asaya Imcha, the Hotza. Below 18 chilek the karka, el lebinyan avanim ogilavim. Avolim rotz elivinos betel shelo, the lasus mechitza mishelo, behutza bedafna, kibun shein bo hezugir mechadero, that would be fine.
Right, so I think that's
it.
So what does that imply?
Well, that seems to be like a kind of like mamas, like, since he's
Well,
I have to pay you.
1 second. I'm trying to take this. Give me one more minute. I thought you also pointed out here.
What's the margin below was that?
No, no, no. No, that's where he says he doesn't spend on the yom. Right, but I thought he does say that when he's trying to explain why you need to go beyond. Here, 1 second. What? Yeah, but why? That you told you're reading from Rabbeinu Yonah?
Yeah, it needs to yell all the time.
Second. The Nicholas Tov Shalom, we'll get to just a second. Oh, it's a terrific line. I'm sorry. One second. I didn't bring my. I don't want to start looking for her. No, sorry. 1 second. Chodasha. I think even when the Rajba quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, for now we'll look at it. We'll look at it, and I'll bring it in next time. What?
You start with Zela Hazen as Chaver before Yom Bevesin?
No. That's a Rajba reading, right?
Yeah. That's where he puts, where he's explaining the Shita.
Okay. Again, I'm not going to hold you up on the, but oh, lo asayeya imach alim kein nivne b'detrin. You told me, but that's the one you mentioned. What?
Yeah.
I think that's the right one. Lefisha chaver omer lo asayeya imach alim kein nivne kibinyane ha'ir. But it doesn't mean kibinyane ha'ir. As opposed to, you know, shutfim in a chotzer, he's saying, this is the standard, not because of the financial, you know, oh, y'all, well, we'll have to come back to me. Yeah.
Where are you reading from?
Od yesh miravusa, this is the Rajba quoting it. Shapir shedekulam asisim sheinecha memrotza lichnos betov shalom. Lefi shechavera omer lo asayeya imach elim kein nivna kivinyane ha'ir o ashutfen. Avalim rotza lichnos tok shalo kone sabone kamoshe yirtza filu b'hutza v'daf. We'll get to the other part. I'm sorry, I think that's what you quoted from before?
Well, it sounds like the Raj was like almost quoting the line in the Rabbeinu Yonah, but Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say this line, right?
I thought he does say this line.
We couldn't find it in Rabbeinu Yonah.
I think Kashutfin. What does he have here? 1 second. I recall that line in Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, but it has nothing to do. The point. Okay, again, the bigger point is this: Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't connect this to a financial issue. Correct? All he does is connect it to a quality of binyan issue. That's the point I want to make. Whereas the Rush, anybody have language in the Rush? And the Rajba, you have the Rajba open, right? Go ahead.
Yeah,
So ve'ena mechuber ve'ena klal shari kol atzman lo amru b'mishnah senu shekofen zazel livnos kivil agazes ela kadesha lo yitztari chazel lahazman eschavir b'chol yom b'beistin v'hakim mechitaso anofelis.
Yeah. I mean, the Rajma's mentality is this is all about sikhsukh bedin and money. Right? The Rush, even more so about money. Anybody have the Rush open? Tovya? Yeah, so the Rush is the most explicit that is financial. Like, you know, what do I need to bleed me, you know, financially every day? You know, I'd rather pay, you know, it's, you know, the derech haruka shehi katzara, right? But the Rajva also basically is saying that. The Rajva is emphasizing more, like, I don't want to be in court with you all the time, you know. It's unpleasant. And you know, it's also a you know, it's a financial loss. Rabbeinu Yonah says, I don't want to build this wall if the quality of the wall is going to, you know, is not going to attain, you know, the typical standards. Those are two. Again, the Rush and the Rajba are very similar. Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about, like, his rights. You know, if we're already building, these are the building rights. But there's no rationale. There's no justification. Right? So you have the Ramban, who earlier we talked about, who says, the problem is, I'm worried that there's going to be a two-week period where there's going to be no wall. Then you have the Rush. I'm worried that he's going to keep asking me to write checks. Then you have the Rajba. I'm worried that I'm going to be dragged to court all the time. And then you have Rabbeinu Yonah, who's saying, I'm not worried. I insist if I'm going to build a wall, it's going to be according to the, you know, high standards, you know, that the community is used to. Not the standards. Then you could go further with that other sheet, though, you know, whether it's the Ramban or not. And that's, oh, you have to build the wall according to the standards of the community, even that transcend, you know, a kosal akotzer. And then, of course, beyond that, you have the ra'ah. You've got to build a wall, right, that, you know, gives me perks, you know, for other functions. Zero to do with hezekriya. Right? And the ra'ah even more, right? Not only that, but you can't, you know, if I want, you know, to insist that the wall be at the border instead of, you know, in your territory because of those perks, I can do that too. Right? It's one thing to say, oh, the quality of the wall needs to, you know, sustain, right, this additional usage. It's quite something else to say that negates the ability of a unilateral solution. I'm not accepting a unilateral solution because, you know, it diminishes, you know, my use of it doesn't allow me to capitalize, you know, on our joint obligation of a wall. Right? So what I'm saying is, we've gone min hakal el hakaved. We've gone to, all we need to do is eliminate practically hezek ri'iyah, to, oh, we need a hezek ri'iyah psychological solution, to, oh, we need a hezek ri'iyah permanent solution, to, you know, if we need a solution for hezek ri'iyah, I shouldn't have to pay more or be dragged to court more, to, there are certain skuyos that I have once we're building a wall, right? Those may pertain to the quality, you know, of the material, you know, or even like in a wider, you know, standard, you know, code. Or they might even apply, you know, to you know, capitalizing once there's going to be a wall on the benefits of a wall. And they may even eliminate your ability, you know, to sacrifice seemingly and to take a unilateral, you know, solution. Okay. But are those other ones independent, or are they themselves Shechenim Halachos? And if they are Shechenim Halachos, is it a coincidence, and or is it connected to Hezek Re'iyah itself being a Shechenim issue? That, I think, is less clear, but those are the things to think about. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah, just back to the Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah himself, like, isn't that really right? It sounds more financial. Because we say in Los Angeles, below, I think, like, the Marka, also, in light of his Shitan, you know, not following Minyan Yair, do you think that he's probably.
Well, why does this have to do with Minyan Yair exactly? The way I understood Rabbi Yonah and Minyan Yair is that. Right, but I don't think he's saying, you know, I don't want to be bled to death. He's saying, you know, if I have to build a wall already, I want to build a wall the way I want to build a wall. That's all I'm saying. What's lacking in Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a subtle point, but what's lacking in Rabbeinu Yonah that is clear in the Rajba and the Rush is that this is, you know, a taina, you know, to save me from Agmas Nefesh or to save me from future outlays. And Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't seem that that's correct. Okay, now, let's go to the next point and see if there's any... again, as for the connection to Mokom Shenogu Shelo Ligdar, I think in Rabbeinu Yonah that that's because, oh, that just means, you know, our chatzeros are not, you know, we've decided that they're not going to be treated as private, you know, venues. That's a totally different issue. Okay. So let's look at the next point in light of this. And that is the issue of, right? And that is the issue of, you know, the unilateral, you know, as opposed to the joint solution. So here, of course, we have two deos in Rabbeinu Yonah. But the way the Rajba at least perceives it, you know, he thinks Rabbeinu Yonah's, you know, subtly advocating, he doesn't say this, but he treats it that way, you know, the view that what? That we'd be mechalek. That if you want to build within your own territory, that's a different matter. Right? That's Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah actually gives both deos. That's how the Rajba understood it. And then you have the Rajba reacting very strenuously, we'll say, right? That he thinks that's completely wrong. And what about the Rush? Avi? Also quotes two deos. And is inclined which way? Say again?
I think he was inclined to say you can't be Kones B'Tov Shalom.
That if you're Kones B'Tov Shalom, then you don't have to build according to code. Right? But his reasoning is also, you know, very interesting. So again, each one says this stuff in a different way. So, you know, what I'd like to suggest, again, is that, you know, the whole question of Nichnas B'Tov Shelo, you know, perhaps itself, you know, determines whether, you know, where we are on this graph. In other words, are we back to, oh, there's no problem, there's no Mechayev? That's what I might say is, when you're Nichnas B'Tov Shelcha, and it's not on the border, right, there are several differences. The biggest difference is that if I'm solving it unilaterally, maybe it isn't a solution. It doesn't need to be a solution. Like, let's go, a step back even before that, like I mentioned the other day. Right? Some of the Achronim say, let's say there was a wall, in the middle of a chatzer, and it was made of chutzah v'dafna, in a mokom, in an atra, delo nehigi b'chutzah v'dafna. And now, they broke up their partnership, but the wall is there. Tzadikim melachta nasa sayidei acherim. All right? Does it work? Does it help? We don't have that case in the Gemara. What's going to be in that case? So you might say, if the quality, of the division between them is anything substantive, about Hezekria, you might demand it. Let me say it this way. If it's anything beyond Hezekria, very hard to demand it. What do you mean? Oh, you're going to, no one's paying any money. First of all, there's no money. Right? And it's, it's not, I have a taina, it might fall down. Hard. And if we're talking about privileges at the wall, to be so make, or, I want it to code, I want it to look a certain way, whatever it is, the aesthetics. That's not a machayev in its own right, is it? On the other hand, if we're talking about, there's still psychological, fear, legitimate psychological, fear of Hezekiah. Or, this is a temporary solution, but there might be interims and we have a right to address that, already more questionable. Meaning, in the most extreme, you might argue that once it's not on the border and once it's, not reciprocal, it doesn't need to be a remedy. It just needs to remove Hezekria. See, look. If you don't want to go that far, so then what you might say is, there's no problem, there's no outlay, there's no obligation for there to be an outlay. And therefore, anything that has to do with the Hezekria side of this, for that, maybe you still require a remedy. Now you have a new situation, people on their, adjacent properties, neighbors, so the solution part of Hezekria is still chai v'kai. But anything having to do, beyond that, doesn't make any sense. You could argue. Or no. Just the fact, so again, if we're talking about, that extreme case, where, there is no problem, I say that's my, most extreme. The likelihood there that chutzah v'dafna or even less is sufficient, not mukhrak, but definitely very compelling. Next to that is a situation where, you're obligated, because of a common border, but one person volunteers to be nichnas b'toch shalom. You could say, once there's an obligation at the border, this isn't viewed anymore, or it's not sufficient anymore. It's too late for Siluk Ahezek. The reality requires a remedy. That's an open question. Interesting open question. If you want to sacrifice and take care of it unilaterally, can you just do Siluk Ahezek then, or too late? But even if you do require a remedy at that point in time, I could still make the argument, that this remedy is taking place within my territory, and therefore some of the niceties, of Hilchos Shcheinim, of the fact that it's a joint remedy, are no longer koveya. where would you draw the line? So in terms of, for example, let's say normally you can, each side has the right to be somech, you know, on the wall. Does that mean I can be somech on the wall, or I can be ma'akev you from building the wall inside because I want to be somech on the wall? That's questionable. Right? If I felt that generally the requirement was, you know, to build according to the code of the city, not just the code of the you know, Chatzar HaShutfim, would I still hold that way if it was Nichnas B'Tok Shelo? Certainly questionable. So whether it's the difference between, you know, neutralizing the problem and solving it, or whether it's the difference between solving it from a purely Hasek Riyah point of view, or solving it as Shkenim, right? There's good reason to be Mechalek. From that point of view, there might be good reason to make another Chiluk. This one could go either way. That is, let's say there's the obligation to solve the problem at the border, right? And the scenario that we're dealing with is the guy said, one of the guys say, you know, I'm going to step back into my territory and solve it myself, unilaterally. You know, that's one kind of circumstance. There can be another circumstance, and that is where you have a Hezek Re'iyah issue, right, that each one is obligated to solve in his own property, not actually with a joint fence. Right? Shnei Gagim across a Rishus HaRabim or whatever, you know, where each individual is obligated to build a makkah on his part. Now that's not a situation where, you know, the chiyuv is this and now, you know, you're being machmir. No, but it's also not a chiyuv exactly on the border, or at least not in the same border, and it's not a joint venture. So who cares? The answer is, maybe that's the proper place to draw the line in terms of siluk hezek re'iyah, as opposed to pitaron, you know, the remedy of hezek re'iyah. Or whether all I need is a hezder, a pitaron for hezek re'iyah, or I need more of a hezder or pitaron, you know, for hilchos shchenim. Right? Misvara. Okay. So now getting away from misvara and getting to be concrete, I think this is exactly what's going on. So the first case we have, Achronim speak about, the one we talked about, you have a Chatzar Shutfim with a, you know, Kutza Medafna or less fence in the middle, and now they break up their partnership. That's one case. That's a real case. Or let's say you had the following. Let's say, forget about a partnership. Let's say you had two people who bought a chatzer. Each one bought half a chatzer. Right? What's the halacha then? And there is a hutza v'daf defense. Or, let's say there's no fence, but they were never partners. They're not, you know, unraveling their partnership, not terminating their partnership. Two people bought, each one bought half a chatzer. Does that affect the requirements of the wall? Or maybe you could say in that situation, since there's no joint, I mean, they are a joint border, but it's not a joint venture. It's not the aftermath of, you know, a shutfus. Maybe Hutzav Adafna is good enough. Does Mazik, you know, does unilateral Mazik or Shnei Mazikin matter? right? Like on the border, Shnei Mazikim Zeh. And not only that, but Shnei Mazikim Zeh together. Especially in the case of Shutfim, who split up. But in the case where two people bought, each one bought half the property, physically it's the same. But are they really being mazik each other, or, you know, each one is mazik the other? Ah. Now that is a lumdish, a legal difference, obviously. Does it make a difference if together they're mazik each other, or each one is mazik the other? That's what I'm asking. That'd be one case. Or let's think of another case. Let's say, you know, my Gog and your Gog, and each of us have to build a Makkah, right? But again, we're not building together. We're also not mazik, you know, each one of us is mazik the other across, you know, a chasm of some sort, a divide. Maybe that's different. Oh. Never mind, you know, my Gog, you know, looks into your chatzer. So only one of us is mazik. So does the nizak have the right to say to the mazik, and by the way, you know, the fence that you build or whatever it is has to be from Gevil and Gazes? Right? Oh. So just to finish all this up, right, Rabbeinu Yonah himself, here if we get the actual language in it, how about, I think in footnotes here he has it. Yeah. When Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, makes the case, you know, that if you're Nichnas Betoch Shalom, right, all bets are off, you don't have these standards. Avalim Rotza Lichnos Betoch Shalom, Konis Ubona, Bameshi Yerza, Filu Hutza Vedafna. Teidalach. I'm reading from the Rajman now because I don't have my Rabbeinu Yonah with me. But I think he has the correct text here in the footnote. The way the real Rabbeinu Yonah reads is, Teidalach, Shelo huzkar chiyuv binyan avonim levenim, ela b'makom shabonim be'emtza. That's the Rajman's girsa of the Rabbeinu Yonah. The actual girsa of Rabbeinu Yonah is, ela b'makom shemagia l'shneem hezek re'iya. Right? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah really writes? Is that correct? You have it? Well, just one more time. Yitzhak, go ahead. Okay, at minimum, it's a finding. It's a ha'ara by Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? We don't find all these standards, you know, in those cases. So Rabbeinu Yonah himself emphasizes Shnei Mazikim or Echad Mazik Chavero. Right? Correct? Who cares? The way the Rajba quotes Rabbeinu Yonah is a little different. Teidalach, Shelo Huzkar Chiyuv Binyan Avonim Avonim, Ela B'Makom Shabonim Be'emtza. But that's factually true, but that's a different emphasis. Is it the issue that they're mazik each other, or the fact that they're, meaning in the hezek side, or is it on the solution side that they're building them together on the border? That's the Rajba's emphasis. Rabbeinu Yonah's is kishkisha mazikim zeh kagon shnei gagim inabigarga samach lechatzar kavero. So what's the story with Shnei Gagim? Shnei Gagim, Shnei. So in the footnotes here in the Rajba, he quotes that Rabbeinu Yonah says it differently. He says, "Exas kasha," the Rabbeinu Yonah. הרי אין התולי בזה, דו שני בתים בשני צידי רשיס הרבים, נמי הוזכר מעקה, אף שיש לשניהם הזק ראייה, אבל לשון רבנו ניחה. He said, the Rajma's rewriting of Rav Eniyon is better. This is what stimulated me to make the subtle distinction that I made before, which is, there's still a difference. I mean, what would Rav Eniyon say? Right? On the common border of, you know, of a shutfus and a chatzer, you know, we're mazikim hadadi. But when it's Gog against Gog, it's true that there are two mazikim, but there are two independent acts of hezek. Not only is there no common border, which is the Rajba's rewriting, I would argue that's the difference between mutual destruction or mutual aggression, better way to say it, or each one, or reciprocal aggression, if you want to call it. Each one is damaging the other. By the way, this goes a little bit back to the issue that we talked about, you know, in the Rimigash, right? That one of the distinctions, the Ravid, you know, again, who likes what of the three formula? When the Rimigash wanted to explain, there's a difference between, you know, Hezek Riyah B'chalon and Hezek Riyah on the Chatzer. Right? So one of the formulations was because they're Azki Adadi. So I mentioned that some Rishonim, when they quote that, you know, emphasize, meaning, therefore there's no Lemaisa, there's no Mechila, and there's no Chazaka, because, you know, if I were to argue, if I were to object, then you'll object to me. That's the pragmatic way. I was suggesting a different take, and that is that when two people are damaged, you know, have an open border, and they're damaging each other, you know, that's just, you don't look at damages quite in the same way. Right? So now I'm kind of saying something similar, and that is, you know, when you don't have a border, you know, and you were previously partners especially, right? You know, that's like the, you know, basically the old, you know, the Wild West. There's no, you know, there's just no controls. There's no security. That's different than there are no boundaries, or it's not being treated as a boundary. You know, there's, what is it, Amsterdam Avenue, you know, separating two Gagim. You know, there's a problem. I'm looking into you, you're looking into me. Right? We're not building jointly. And, you know, we're separately mazicking each other, in a way. So, both in terms of, again, depending on where you want to draw the line, both in terms of is it enough to neutralize the problem, or do you need a solution, a remedy? And if you need a remedy, you know, do you need a remedy, you know, strictly for Hezek Re'iyah, or do you also, you know, extend that, you know, to border rights, or, you know, wall standards, you know, et cetera, et cetera, you know, the Shekhinim part. Or do we look at this as a joint venture? Or do we look at it as each person's obligation, you know, to solve their problem? These are very reasonable chilukim. And I actually think that the fact that Rav Eniyon, and here it's a little bit of a speculation on my part, the fact that Rav Eniyon doesn't emphasize the financial part, you know, the Bezdin part, certainly not, you know, the future Hezek Re'iyah part, but the, you know, if we're going to build this already, we're going to build it to code, we're going to build it to, you know, to the standards that I want, or that, you know, are expected in this community. to say, you know, that doesn't apply if we're not building it together or on the border, or if what we're building isn't, you know, to neutralize the lawlessness, you know. But if each one of us has an obligation, separate obligation to the other, nothing joint about it, you know. So of course it's about hezek re'iyah, or at best solving hezek re'iyah, if not just neutralizing it. And the Rajba, you know, says no, ein mechuvar beinai klal. Sorry, kol atzman la'omer b'mishnasenu shekofen zeh livnos gvilo gazes ala kadesha lo yitzarek zeh la'azmin es chaveru b'chol yom lebezdin l'hokim mechitzaso anofelas b'kivin shekein mali sheino kones l'tok shalo mali kones. Even then I don't think that that's a foolproof argument, but I think what he's saying is the more or the less this is about shekeinim, you know, and rights, and the more it's about, you know, either the nezek or, you know, the financial investment, you know, to, you know, to preclude the nezek, you know, the more, at least once there's an obligation, then the ability to step back and say, oh, I'll solve it myself now. Maybe that's no longer good enough. Because once we both have, you know, the obligation to a long-term, financially sound, you know, solution, maybe there's no turning back on that. As for the argument, v'im isa de b'shuftin yaskinan, kishara zeh shebezem b'chayvin oso balkorcha, lasei skimel tvachim b'karka, v'dami yaseira b'gvil v'gazitz yichnos tov shalom v'yivna b'chitza shalutza, k'mo sharotza, I'm not so sure about that. Right? Does he really want to, you know, give his own land, you know, just so he can use cheaper building materials? Financially and also psychologically, you know. Like, people don't want to, you know, they don't want to concede, like, you know, oh, it's a joint solution at the border. Like, why should I do it? Even if it's financially sound. You know, people are peculiar, right? So, what is it, you know, yeah, penny, how does it go?
Penny?
No, no. That's probably true, but when you know, when you're concerned about, you know, losing a penny, but you're not, you know, what's it called? Yeah, there's something. Yeah, yeah. What you got? Avi?
Penny wise, pound foolish.
Penny wise, pound foolish. Who said that? Penny wise, pound foolish. That's exactly it. That's how it works.
Did he get a prize?
What?
Did he get a prize?
Yeah, for sure. I think I have a shiny penny in my pocket. Yeah. So I think that, you know, as for the Ba'od Shabazan Echlaku Ravuna Rav Chisda, that also is very unclear that that is the debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, but it's fascinating that the Rajba, you know, should perceive it that way. Okay. The Rush, on the other hand, I think is also very interesting. The Rush could have. The Rosh is inclined like Rabbeinu Yonah, right, to be mechalek between, you know, the joint solution and the unilateral solution, correct? However, he does not formulate, not like the Ramban shows Benatayim, you know, he does emphasize, you know, almost purely the financial aspect, as we said, not even the Din Torah. But at the end of the day, he doesn't buy the Rajba's argument for Kones B'Tov Shalom, but not because of my suggestion, which is, oh, Kones Tov Shalom, that isn't a Pitaron, that's Sila Kahazim. Or that's a Pitaron of Hezek Re'iyah, but, you know, it doesn't require of you a Pitaron of Hilchos Shcheinim. No. Kyle, what's the argument of the Rush? Very important argument. This is Simon Hay.
So yeah, the Rush says, as long as you're not being Masalik Hezek for a Fisha, right?
Very interesting, right? Yeah, read it, go ahead.
Yeah. That one line or old thing?
That line, I think, is the...
So it says, Ella Mastik Mash Masalik Hezek Omenu Fisha. Yamachar Zman, he is a Kenu, he is Shofi Maris.
Yeah. So this, I think, is really interesting. So first of all, the argument itself is very interesting. Obviously, the Rajma didn't go along with it. But speak mashu b'salek hezeko b'menu l'fishar. That's almost like, oh, you don't need a hez there. You just need siluk a hezek. You know, so if that's the case, why isn't enough to always put up a hutz of a dafna? Right, maybe the Rosh will tell you, because there's still an separate economic point, right? Oh. But from the perspective of Hezek Re'iyah, he's saying, or any Hezek, see, look, a Hezek is good enough. So if you want to do it on your own, that's fine. If Achar Zman Yazik Ken Yishoftim Ba'aretz, Yilotei Mahaki, what do you think of Yilotei Mahaki? Mechitza sakerim in Tifrots tiaser tzvuas chavero yitzarech balakerim libnos gazis elavada elavidu chachamim gvul lebinyan elavamokom sheyitzias abinyan al shneim sheyachal echad lomar yachshi lasos maosai and parus lahotzei otzos b'chol yom. So again, maybe he is saying this idea in a way, but you know, he's saying siluk hahezek, you know, is always limited. For that, you don't have to worry, you know, about tomorrow. You know, kol yesha shoftim ba'ir. Very interesting. But I think it's also very interesting that he brings a proof. So again, if it's a joint wall, so then, you know, I have certain financial rights. If I'm digging into my pocket for both investing, then, you know, then I can insist that this be a reasonable investment. But if we're not both investing, you know, then, you know, that's not a taina at all. Right? And, again, he's not interested in the six sukh bezdin so much. So, see, look, hahezek is enough. But what about the raya? What do you think about the raya? Tani, what do you think about the raya? From the Chitzas Karen. Say again? I mean, he seems to be bringing a proof in general from, like, Harchakas Nezakin or Nezek. Right, when we solve nezek problems, you know, can they be short term solutions? All things, you know, all things considering, or long, or they need to be, like, you know, you have to worry about, you know, the future. There are other cases where we just neutralize the problem in the present, right? But one might have said, this is like the point of the bigger point. Maybe Hezek Re'iyah shiny. The whole Hezek Re'iyah maybe wouldn't have been Shema Hezek, you know, if we weren't giving it a certain gravity, you know, if it wasn't Shochein L'Shvatav, Gedaran Shel Yisrael, equal to or even worse than, you know, Kitro Beis Akisei. So maybe here, you know, you need a long-term solution. How can you compare it to Stam, any Hezek? Other Hezek, maybe all you need to do is neutralize the Mechayev. Here, once is a problem, for psychological and other reasons, that's part of our Chakas Nezakin. But the Rosh in general is not so inclined to all of that. And the Rajba is, the Ramban is, course, the Tshuva Sarif is. Whether the Rimigash and the Rambam are, that depends. Right? But the Rush, as we've seen already in Balei Tosis, you know, it's for them, you know, in principle, there could be Hezek Re'iyah, there could be Chazakala Hezek Re'iyah. Not only that, the wall for the Rush, you know, almost like the parallel opposite in a way, the wall for the Rush, you know, is the main thing in Hezek Re'iyah. Right? When the Rush asks the question, you know, about Kras Ksusi, you know, why can't you be Chozer from Kras Ksusi? Remember the Rush's answer, which is, right, the Mechila here, you know, is not about Hezek Re'iyah. It's about the financial obligation to build the wall. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, he's not, you know, portraying Hezek Re'iyah as something which is fundamentally different than other Nezek. I think in that respect, the Rush, you know, works out very, very well. Okay. Just one other point, very quickly. Say that again?
The Rush seems to think that this point about folly of a wall would be relevant even in Inyan, yes, the Isser Kilayim itself.
Even in Inyan?
In Kuveya, the Isser Kilayim itself. Tifrot te oser to us haveru.
Well, we'll get to that.
Right. So, meaning, even if you
you're now touching on the question, you know, what's going on in the Kalayim aspect of this too? Is that correct?
Right.
Meaning, the Bala Kerem is being Osa the Tvua, or Mimela, there's like a Taroves. You know, he's making it seem like that. Would you?
Well, I was just saying that it could change this analysis. I mean, if not the fact that this is fits in so well with the other parts of the Rush. Could have argued that
Kilayim
is also shining. I mean, even if Hezek Re'iyah is shining,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Element, this also has an Isser element, and he thinks that.
Because it's an Oser.
Right.
Because of what I'm saying
now.
Right. I hear that. Okay. So, just one other point very quickly, and that's regarding the question of the Taz. I mentioned that the Nesivas, you know, tries to answer the Taz's question, like, where do you get the right to be so meich on the wall? So he gives two answers. Anybody see it? Yeah, it's a guy.
So he says, I am the Taz Shehiksha, Kol Eker, Mashi Yachol Echol.
Where's this one again? Kuf Nun.
Zayin Gimel.
Zayin Gimel, yeah.
So Kol Eker, Mashi Yachol Echol, Falasas Mechitza, Urak Misham Hezek Re'iyah, Kovarish Vavasra. So in King Kishim Esali, Kimeno Hezek Re'iyah, Be'ezofen Sheyachol. So the Chimayin in the Chofel, it's in the Makam Ahmasas Karas. So we use the Ashiv Ktsas, the Lomi Boy, Bein Bodin Chaluka, Vinisratu Bachaluka, so Vada di Achalomar, Lonis Ratsisi Bachaluka, Raka Daita de Minhaga.
So the first answer is, oh, we're talking, maybe it's a difference between Yesh or Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka. And if it's a Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka, so maybe it like integrates this agreement of, you know, this long term solution with privileges, you know, of being somate to the Kosel. Is like, you know, part of the new, you know, reality, you know, the post, you know, Shutfus, you know, world that they'll live in. That's just part of it, correct? Okay, that kind of makes it more technical but implicit. But then he has another interesting idea. Go
ahead. Oh.
What's he saying?
That in a situation where it's dafka chalukas hashutfin, so there seems to be a different framework in place.
So this is another way of saying kind of what we've been saying, which is that, you know, you're right, if you want to look at this narrowly in terms of solving Hezek Re'iyah, but they did this solution, the Hezek Re'iyah solution, you know, incorporates, right, a certain harmony. He doesn't talk about Shekhinim per se, but it includes this element of mutual rights. Even though it instigated and triggered, stimulated by, you know, by precluding damage. Okay. And one final point just to make very quickly. Even on the Ramban, and this may be help Asher, I'm not sure, Asher and the Bach, right? Even though the Ramban is the Rishon, you know, who explains this whole phenomenon that we're spending some time on, you know, this elevated requirement of, you know, of building the wall according to a certain standard, in terms of, you know, the chashash of interim hezek re'iyah, it's interesting that he also projects the opposite view. And that is when he speaks about, you know, the mandamar of hezek re'iyah lo shma hezek. Right, the Gemara says, right, on base of base, you know, trying to bring a raya from, you know, chalukah sashutfin. The Gemara says, chalukah must have been with a kosel, no. Right? That was the weakest question. Right? What's the Gemara's answer?
By the Imbun and Chalukah?
No.
Sorry, which question?
The Gemara says, oh, we can prove Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek. Right? From...
Hoyesh
Bakadeh Zelizeh Cholkin. My Labakosel. Gemara says, "Mesipas b'yam." So there's a huge machlokas. So Rishonim, Rashi says, "What is mesipas?"
One of them says windows.
A yateid, I thought. Rashi.
Rashi says that.
Didn't you say that? No. Rashi says it's like just a sign on the ground. Other Rishonim say that it's a wall. Correct. But it could be a see-through wall, a wall with hole, whatever it is, are different views. One of those Rishonim is the Ramban. Correct? Ramban says it has to be a wall. But it doesn't have to be a Hezek Re'iyah wall. So he brings a Raya. This is not consistent with what we were saying before. As I say, might support. Anybody have that line? And base on the base in the Ramban? Here. Anybody have it? I think it's this piece.
Where he argues on Rashi?
Yeah. Well, certainly he argues on Rashi. But I thought he's bringing a raya from the Mandamar Hezek Re'iyah Shma Hezek, but you have to go beyond neutralizing Hezek Re'iyah. So Hu Adin, the Mandamar Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek, you have it? Go ahead.
So Avamash Apirish Rashi Mesifas Shu Yusedas Tekuas Ba'aretz Ena Mechuva She'en HaShotfin Cholkin La'olam Ela Bekosel Binyan Kedei Shlo Yu Kol Ayom Mis Asma V'din.
Correct? So that's very interesting, right? Because you could have said, and again, this is not consistent with the other Ramban that I mentioned, you know, where the concern seems to be for interim Hezek Re'iyah. Again, it's not a stira. It could be the primary issue is interim Hezek Re'iyah. Maybe that's responsible for, let's say, some of the standard issues, especially the width or thickness questions. You know, but then there's another question, and that's mitz'an, mitz'shnei, mitz'an, tzim v'din. But the equation itself is questionable. You know, I'm always on the lookout for, you know, mid man damar hezek re'iyah shma hezek, you know, but it doesn't, you know, directly correlate to that requirement. Nishma l'man damar hezek she ein re'iyah lo shma hezek. You know, that could be two completely different worlds. Especially if, as we've been saying, right, there's a correlation between, like, Hezek Re'iyah, you know, being a Shekhinim problem, you know, and then in the solution requiring additional Shekhinim, you know, elements. Okay, that's if Hezek Re'iyah, if the whole thing was triggered by, you know, Hezek Re'iyah. But, it, you know, that's what I'm saying is twofold. Firstly, if you were going to say what the Ramban said before, which is that the rationale behind these extra requirements is, you know, Hezek Re'iyah itself, then there's certainly no comparison between, you know, the additional elements beyond Hezek Re'iyah, according to the Man Domer Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, and the Man Domer Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shmei Hezek. Right? Meaning, the Man Domer Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shmei Hezek, you know, is purely about Shekhinim, or Binyan, or Mis'amtsin Bedin, whatever you want to say. Right? So, to ascribe that same status to Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, you know, but the additional requirements is not obvious at all. Very problematic. But the Ramban says it. So does that mean we should reassess, you know, when he says that, what he said before, that that was only one aspect, maybe that's the core aspect, you know, but there are other aspects, and that would support the Bach and Asher's reading that, you know, of all people, the Ramban is the one who thinks that the code for the wall isn't a binyan, you know, al gvul chatzer shutfim, but is like the standard, you know, code for the whole gated community or for the whole community. Maybe. Something to think about. Okay. Good. Okay. Before we get to, we have to stop in 1 minute. I thought we'd start Kilayim today, but we will start on Thursday. But before we get to, I just want to speak, you know, we'll have Mincha in 1 minute. But, you know, okay. So the beginning of Thursday, just for a couple of minutes, I told you I want to speak about just a little bit more about Kutra and Beis HaKiseh and Chav Gimel, because it plays such an important role. So the big thing I want to point out is two things. Number one, in the Gemara itself, there is no indication, you know, what is singular about Kutra Beis HaKiseh, such that, you know, Ein Chazaka L'Nezakin. We, you know, have encountered, you know, when early on, especially, you know, the very, very strong formulation of the Ramban on Nun Tesamen Aleph, you know, the Hezek Re'iyah is even worse than Kutra Beis HaKiseh, but also explaining why, you know, what's so, you know, acute about, you know, Kutra Beis HaKiseh, and, you know, especially this idea of Nizke Adam Ba'Adam. You know, so that kind of is very powerful. I think it can be demonstrated that, you know, originally, I think the first person maybe to say that, I'm not sure, is the Rimi Gash on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. He speaks about also Tsar Aguf. I don't know if it's in all the, again, some of the Rimi Gashes are, you know, from a later Ksav Yad in the later editions. And it's not my original Rimi Gash, but it could be in this one here, or the one I have at home, or the one that, who had the Rimi Gash the other day? Yeah. Oh, you had it. You have a red one. I have like a pink one. Okay. Yeah. So, I just wanted to just, you know, get on record a couple of things very quickly. One is this question, you know, and just, you know, to make the Ha'ara, you know, again, there's always a danger when, you know, it's like a, you know, a trivia question, you know. Can you be too influenced by a Rishon, you know? You know. So, you know, normally the answer would be no, but yeah, if, you know, if it, you know, deflects your understanding that, you know, that what he said is Mechudash. A, so you can appreciate it more and give them proper credit, and B, so you can be aware that, you know, not everybody has to interpret that way. So I'm saying this is like a good example. You know, once you've encountered this Ramban, you know, it's a, you know, the idea of kutra beis akisei, you know, is nizke guf beguf and tsar, or the Rambam's formulation of davar shab, you know, ef shar lizbol is also very strong. You know, it's very, very impactful, and it should be. But it's worth noting that in the Gemara, right, the Gemara itself doesn't tell us what's unique about kutra beis akisei. You could have thought that it is, you know, some other characteristic, you know, which is not as, you know, distant from regular hezek. For example, it's tadirus. Could be that. Some people emphasize that. It's, to use the language of the Ksos, I believe, you know, it's mischadesh, you know, b'chol yom. You know, those are elements. Or just to use the language of the Rama, but he uses more, you know, than this. But in the Tshuva, and also in the Yad Rama on Chav Gimel, initially, the Rama presents kutra beis akisei as being takif, if anybody has language, takif yoser, you know, mishar nizakim. So you could have said, you know, it's more, you know, it's persistent, you know, and it is, you know, continuous. It, you know, continues to, you know, to be mechadesh, miskadesh kol yom. Like, you know, it comes in waves. It's, the idea that it also constitutes, you know, physical assault, and, you know, something built in nizbal, that's not so obvious. So it's curious to note that the Rimi Gash does add the word. Anybody have it? You have it there, Aaron, on Chav Gimel? I think it's not the regular one. Dibra Maskel Rav Mari. Yeah. I think he has a line there. Nezek, you know, kitzar haguf, or something like that. Nezek zek kitzar hagufu. Do you have that? Unless mine is more extensive than yours. Okay, I'm going to stop in 1 minute. And then he actually quotes Bava Kamma, Tzadi Gimel, which is terrific. Right? The Chi Adam Mochel Al Tzaro? You have that? Whoa. How many Mimigashas are there out there? Let's see. And the one in this book? Has it? No. And the one that I have at home, it's like a newer one, somebody got me a couple years back, after I was using the actual autograph copy from the Rimi Gash himself, which I still have and
does
still
that
one cherish.
More or less content?
What? The autograph copy? No, less. I guess because he added stuff in later, or somebody did. Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's a curious point. They don't have it here either. You have it.
Yeah.
Which one do you have?
Alatorah.org.
What do you have?
Alatorah.org.
What is that?
Great website that has a lot of collections.
That's different than like Jewish books. And you're saying you're going, well, you're way back beyond that already. Okay, so what do they have? So they have this more extensive Rimi Gash.
Yeah.
And what do they have here? You have the line?
Yeah.
That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma, correct? So again, this is of course earlier than the Ramban. You know, so the Ramban and the Rat. So actually, the Rimigash, you know, very interesting, because he already reports that the Tshuva Sarif compared Hezek Ria to Kutra Beis Akisa. He didn't say like the Ramban, you know, Hu Adin V'Kol Shekein, right? But it's very, you know, important to know what the Rimigash thought about Kutra and Beis Akisa. So now we know it really comes from him that it's Kitsara Guf and it is Adam Mochel Al Tzaro. The only thing he doesn't say that the Ramban says, the Ramban says it's Nizke HaGuf BeGuf. Of course, the recipient of the damage is the guf, I mean the nizok, but is it also considered personal assault from the mazik's point of view? Right? That's the Ramban adds. That we don't find. But the v'chi adam mochel al tzaro is very good, because I was suggesting the Rambam's language in Perikid Aleph Halacha Dalid is very reminiscent of his idea in the Choschovel. Okay. So, on the other hand, even, you still have it open, Tani? Even as the Rimigash says that, so you might have thought that Kinyan wouldn't help you, well, we know it helps for the Rambam. Right? And we know it helps for the Ramban. Does it help for the Rimigash? Not only does Kinyan help, but Eidus Goy and Hodas Piv also help. You have that line? You think my Rimigash has more than what was the website?
Halatora.
Halatora.
Yeah, he mentions Hodas Goy.
He mentions Eidus Goy and Hodas Piv. Yeah? I'm Swiss. I'm like slipping into Dutch. Yeah. Hodas guy. Okay, in mine, I'm going to bring in mine next time. But in mine, he says that Eidus Goy works, and also Hodas Piv. But is that Oyde Kinyan or not? That's not clear. I suspect that the Rimigash is only Oyde Kinyan. Okay. The Adrama, also, as I mentioned, seems to have this idea that we have, you know, already in, one second, let me see if I can find the line. No, I don't have it with me. Okay, so what I wanted to do just very quickly, I just want to pinpoint the language again, just to know what Kutra Beis Akisa is. But as I say, is it Tadirus? Is it Ischadshus? Is it Takif? Is it, you know, Tzara Guf? Is it Niske Adam Ba'adam? What exactly is it? And then I want to take a couple of minutes just to pin down a couple of the shitas which you already mentioned. Meaning, will Kinyan help? For the Rambam, it does. Will Raya help? You know, where you draw the line. There's an interesting Nasivos where he argues that in some respects, Kutra Beis Akisa is the model for even the other Nizakin, about which we say Yesh Chazak al Nizakin. I want to talk about that for a minute. And I also want to talk about the Ksos. I'm sorry, I also want to talk about the Nesivas' general question about the relationship between Hezek Ria and Arba Avos Nezikin. It's also a piece, right there in Kufnun Zayin. But I, the Kufnun Zayin, and then I want to speak about the Ksos very briefly, who asks the question, why don't we apply the paradigm of Kras Ksusi, where you can always be Chosa? Because these are issues that really kind of touch directly on all the things that we've been doing. And then after that, I want to start, you know, talk about Kelayim. Okay? And Kelayim, again, look at the things I gave you. I'm not going to spend so much time on it, but part of the question is what Asher was alluding to, which is how do we look at Kelayim? Is Kelayim just like a Metzius, you know, a kind of Taroves, you know, which is Chafsa Shaliser? If that's all it is, then this sugya is very difficult. Or is it like an oser? And what impact does that have, like on how we look, you know, at the components of Kelayim? And like in the back of your mind, it's helpful to think of Kelayim, you know, as compared to Basar B'Chalav, in the sense that you have, you know, two situations of Heter B'Heter, you know, which when combined, you know, become Asur, you know, but are they really alike? Like, you don't look at the Basar and the Chalav and say, oh, the Chalav is Osa the Basar, or the Basar was Osa the Chalav, right? Typically, you say, there's a Chafsa Shel Basar B'Chalav, which is Asur. Is that parallel to what's happening in Kelayim? And if not, does that help us with some of the phenomena of Kelayim that we encounter even in this sugya, including the idea that, you know, it's a kind of mazik? Okay, so that's Mirat Hashem for Thursday. Yeah.